Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, outfitted by Iron Jock Apparel, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Dancing down the sidelines, and they catch him now! The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
And welcome into the Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show live on the ESPN Madison and the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels. And today, we're mixing up how we do the show because we have a special guest in Kamari McGee joining the show, former Badger basketball player. Kamari, how are you doing on this March 18th?
I'm doing pretty good. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. March Madness is here, and that's where I wanted to start is as someone that is a former college basketball player, and obviously getting to March and trying to have a March run is the pinnacle for college basketball. How do you view this time of year as someone who's not playing but had obviously experienced some of this in the past?
I honestly still feel like this is the best time of the year. Spirits is high, stakes is high, everything is high. I love when this time of year comes around. Even though I'm not playing, I've found a new love for the game just watching it, you know, watching the college. And when March comes around, like, it's really, truly the best time.
Kamari, what were some of your favorite memories? I mean, you've made some runs with this team, some good postseason runs, especially last season, too. I mean, I think we all still feel that sting of John Tonje having the ball in his hands. But even then, what are some March memories that stuck out to you when you were here with the Badgers?
Some March memories that stuck out with me would definitely be last year's run in the Big Ten tournament. You know, that was we were viewing it as like a revenge tour, and that was just kind of fun. You know, we just fell one short on our little tour, but that was like, that's a fond memory I have. Or even taking it back to 2 years ago when I had came back from an injury and we made another run in the Big Ten tournament. It was just, those were like two of my best memories just with being with the Badgers. And but there's so many. I mean, there's so many memories. I really miss it every day.
And, you know, as you talk about the NIL and transfer portal and all that, how, like, from the inside, how is it when a player arrives and how do they best, and how do you best blend yourself into a team that already exists? Like, obviously, everyone has their own personality and their skill set. Mm-hmm. You got to blend on the court and off the court.
I would just have to give a shout out to Coach Gar and the coaching staff for them bringing in the guys that it's easy to bond with, easy to, you know, incorporate into the what we already had. Like, they've done these past few years, they've done great jobs just finding great players, and not only great players, but great people as well. And when you find great people, it's easy to just blend with everybody. And that's kind of what they did, starting with me and Max when they first added us in the transfer portal. And then on the AJ and on the Tanja, and then now even Nick Boyd, like, Coach Gar and that staff do great jobs in the transfer portal.
Yeah, could you walk us through that process too? And again, you mentioned when you came over from UW Green Bay over to Wisconsin. One, I mean, just getting the opportunity to get to do that, but secondly, just that process of what it was with the connection with the Badgers, what it was with the connection with the coaching staff, and because I know Coach Gard has said that it all comes down to the system and making sure that they get the right guys in place. So walk us through that process too, and why you felt like, yeah, this is a place where I know that I could fit in, and I want to have a great role with this team.
Yeah, first of all, when I first entered the portal, Wisconsin was the first school to call. And then a couple of days later, they came for a home visit, and then they had me out on campus like 2 days after that. And one memory that sticks out with me was when I was on my visit, Chucky Hepburn came to the gym. Like, he was walking around with us doing all that. And then after we got done, he gave me his number. He was like, look, bro, like, if you come here, you can hit me whenever. You can come up here, you can kick it. We can hang out, we can work out, all of that. So that just made me feel comfortable right away, because he didn't even know who I was. He just knew that I was potentially coming here and made me feel like a brother already. And then as soon as I would come up there for open runs on a Friday or a weekend, everybody, and it just felt like I had knew everybody for years. And that's how it was when we added AJ. Like, we made him feel comfortable right away, you know. We wanted him to know that we trying to make a run at this, and so forth with Tanjay. Like, we just made sure, like, we let everybody know, like, we all on the same page. We gonna rock with you on and off the court, and that's only gonna make us better when it's come time for this time of the year.
We are joined by Kamari McGee. He joins us on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, now officially in Wisconsin. And Kamari, watching one of the transfers you mentioned earlier, Nick Boyd, how do you assess this game? What do you enjoy about watching it? He really does seem like a player that not only is an excellent basketball player, but really fits what the Badgers like to run over the last few years with Greg Gard.
I absolutely love his game. And I tell him, every time I see him, I tell him every game I've been to, every time we chop it up a little bit, I tell him, like, bro, I just love his game. The energy he brings, the fight he brings, the scoring, the defense, he brings it all. He does it all. He does all the little things that's necessary. And that's what you have to do to win, especially being the point guard. You know, the point guard is the head of the snake, so you got to be everything that Nick Boyd is.
Kamari, what excites you the most about this group? We've talked about that, wanting to try to get the lid finally off and break that Sweet 16 cap and get this team into the second weekend. I think hopes are super high for this team. What are your expectations based off of how you've seen them progress over the season as they get ready for this journey in March?
Man, I can see them making a deep run, you know, with the way their offense is flowing, and when they're clicking on that defensive end, oh my, they are a dangerous team, a hard team to stop. Like, they got a little bit of everything, and I love it. Like, when they're together on the defensive end, they can go toe-to-toe with anybody, because they can score the ball at will. They have a lot of shooters, and that backcourt is so dangerous. One of the best backcourts, if not the best backcourt in the country. Like, that team is dangerous, and them getting Nolan back and Jack Janicki back is huge too. You know, there's nothing like having the whole team together. And when that whole team is together, this is the time for it to happen.
To follow up on that too, you've seen these guys grow. I know it would have been awesome to have you as a part of this group too, but you know, you mentioned Nolan, you've mentioned John Blackwell, even Jack Janicki with a year under his belt. Hopefully he's healthy and gets some extra minutes in, but the guys that are returning that were a part of maybe these last two or, you know, even a year run into the NCAA tournament, how have you seen those guys grow, and how important is it to have that veteran presence as you hope to make a deep run?
Man, having that veteran presence is always, always key when making these runs, because it always comes down to who has, like, the experience. Like, you can have the talent, but if you haven't been in these big moments, it can get hard. The lights can get a little bright. And seeing those guys grow has been amazing. From when they were just freshmen, the first year on campus, to now, like, each and every one of them, you can tell they have just been working on their game. Working on that game day in and day out, and the work has been showing. It's been showing, and it was their time. Like, when they joined us, we kind of were the veterans. You know, we were the older guys, but now they are the veterans. So, you know, they got to take the charge, take the lead, and make sure they're getting everything done to make this run.
And Kamari, with this, you know, as you look at this time of year and this Badger team and trying to make this run, is there a moment in the game or a moment where you think about when you're playing that, like, hey, momentum, because everyone talks about it, where it's like, hey, we feel like this is going for us or against us. Does it even feel more like that in March, where all of a sudden it feels like almost the entire stadium is getting behind you?
Yeah, especially in March. Like, because especially with the Badger fans, they travel well. So, you know, when you get in March, like, everybody it's a little more intense, and not in a bad way. Like, because the fans, you know, they're just more rowdy, trying to hype you up, trying to make you be able to go on these big runs in the games. Because, you know, basketball is a game of runs. So, especially in a tournament, you never know what's going to happen. So, you literally have to fight until the clock strikes zero. And it's always good knowing that you have the fans that have your back.
Kamari, Coach Guard said it perfectly on Sunday, is that I know that you were on the other side of the 5-12 upset with James Madison and just that fight in itself. But Coach Guard really said you have to remove the numbers no matter what. And even though there is talk of the 5-12 upset, and that's always a commonplace, from the experience that you had, and just the, if you could give advice to this group of wash away the numbers, just go out and play your game, what would you say to that team, especially having the past experience just a couple seasons ago?
That's honestly exactly what you just said is what I would say. Like Coach Gar said, wash away them numbers. When you get to March, it don't matter. If the team makes it to March, that means they were good enough to get here. Wash away them numbers. Treat every opponent with the same amount of respect, no matter who it is, high major, mid major, don't matter. Treat everybody with respect and go out there and just play your game. Play your game. Don't play down to your competition. Don't play up to your competition. Just play your game. And let the game speak for itself. That's all I would say. Them boys been doing it all year. So hey, I don't see why they would change it now.
So before I let you go, how far are they going?
How far?
Yeah.
Man, you know me, I'm a little biased. Yeah. I need my boys to go all the way.
We all are.
I need my boys to go all the way. I need them to go all the way. I got them in my, I'm making brackets, you know, this is my first year making brackets. So I got my boys going real far for sure. I need them to go all the way. Why not bring a championship to Madison? Why not?
Why not? Kamari, I got a two-parter here because I know that last season when we talked at preseason availability, everybody said that you are the guy to go to for the fashion advice and everything. First off, what's the game day fit look like? And two, if Riley wants to queue up, see if we could all get some fit checks from the fashion legend himself, Kamari McGee. If we could all get fit checks from each, if you guys want to share what we're rocking with today. But first off, I want to talk about game day fit for tomorrow. What are we rocking with?
What are you talking about, me?
Yeah,
personally?
Yeah, for you. You got anything cooked up for a game day, or what we got? What are we rolling with for the Badger game?
That's crazy. I ain't even thought about it yet. I gotta put some thought to that.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I ain't thought about it yet. I'm definitely have some Badger gear on for sure. I'm going to have some Badger girl. I'm going to put a little fit together. I'm going to post it to y'all to see it.
I got you.
I ain't thought about it yet, though. That's a great question, though.
I got you.
Kamari, I got one for you before we let you go. I'm rocking the Wisconsin design team, the Corn Tee.
Yeah, and, Wisco design team.
Yes, sir. And I saw you repping the Wisconsin design team shirt at the Barstool Pros versus Joe's game.
Yes.
Tell us about that experience. And you balled out. What was that like for you? Because that was awesome to watch.
It was, when I tell you, I had nothing but a great time. Yo, shout out to Big Cat for reaching out to me and inviting me to that. I also want to shout out Mario Chalmers for not making it. If you was there, I wouldn't have been there. So I shout out to you for not making it because, man, I had a ball. Like, playing with Tyler Hansbrough, playing with Jason Williams, White Chocolate, like, Brandon Paul from Illinois, like, playing with the Loyola guys. It was a great time. And shout out to all the Barstool workers for even playing. Like, that was, I really had a ball. Even though we was in there hooping for like 3-4 hours, but it was, I was smiling the whole time. Like, it was fun. That was my first time being at the Barstool headquarters. Like, it was just a lifetime experience, seriously.
Kamari, thank you for taking the time to join us. Really appreciate it.
Man, I appreciate y'all for having me. It's always on Wisconsin.
Always
on Badge for life.
All right, appreciate it, Kamari, man. Have a good one.
Appreciate y'all. You too.
That is Kamari McGee. We'll play our Steinhoffels commercial here, and then I'll come back and tell you about everything that's going on with Steinhoffels. We're doing things basically reverse here on The Jump Around.
Spring is in the air, and it's time to refresh your home. During Steinhoffel's Get Ready for Spring Sale, save 10% or more store-wide on the styles you've been waiting for. From statement sofas to dining sets made for gathering, find beautiful furniture for every room. Plus, enjoy 0% financing for 60 months, so you can bring home the look you love today and pay over time. Hurry in and make your home bloom. Shop in-store or at steinhoffels.com.
As you hear there from Steinhoffels, and guests on The Jump Around are brought to you by Steinhoffels, you spend more than 2,500 hours a year on your mattress, so is yours actually working for you? It's time to upgrade your sleep game at Steinhoffels Mattress Madness. Their sleep experts will match you with the perfect mattress so you can wake up rested, refreshed, and ready to take on the day.
Shop all the top brands at unbeatable prices. Plus, enjoy free delivery and 120-night sleep guarantee, so you can rest easy knowing that you made the right choice. Shop Mattress Madness in-store or at steinhoffels.com. Today, why don't you hit me with the jump around sound?
It's a nice little change-up. Different, yes. Different lineup today.
It is a different lineup today, and it says on the rundown High Point preview, I don't know. I think this is more about the tournament. I don't really – if the Badgers lose to High Point, let's just call this season an abject disaster, right?
I'm with that. I feel like that you got to – Kamari said it perfectly. Don't overlook an opponent, and that it felt like that's what happened against James Madison potentially because we were very high on this team, but –
Nah, James Madison was just better.
I'm adamant.
That year, James Madison was just better. They kicked the Badgers' ass that year.
I think James Madison beat Michigan State that year, too. They were decent.
They were just better than the Badgers.
Yes. Yeah. Well, here's the thing is that I just feel like that we have yet to reach this team's full potential, right? We have yet to truly like hit the ceiling, whereas even in that season, we liked what we saw with AJ Storm. We liked the explosiveness. It felt like that even the last couple seasons, when you make it to Sunday in the Big Ten tournament, those were the highlights of those two seasons for the Badgers, whereas I was very happy that you make it to Saturday, you made it close against Michigan, a team that played on Sunday, and you get that extra day of rest. As fun as it would have been to see them on Sunday in Chicago, I am very happy that they didn't make it in this strange way, because there is a lot more on the table, and this team understands that, and they have the maturity, and they've had the growth moments. So, yeah, again, don't overlook this opponent in High Point, but the defense from the Panthers just doesn't look great. Don't get me wrong, but I think this truly could be a team that at the very least is for sure flirting with the second weekend, at the very least, and I think we could finally see them break that seal.
Yeah, if the Badgers lose to High Point, you can just throw it all out the window. Yep. This sucks. Everyone's going to be pissed, but I don't think they're going to lose to High Point. High Point, they're one of the shortest teams in the country. They're just a significantly worse version of the Badgers. It's really that Arkansas game.
Yep.
That Arkansas game is going to be the kicker, which I am very, very excited for. Watched Nick Boyd versus Darius Acuff Jr. is going to be cinema.
It's
going to
wait.
Yeah, Acuff's been compared to Kyrie Irving, so that's a little bit.
He's really good. He is fun to watch.
That's a little scary. But I will say this, just like last year, it reminds me of the BYU game. I mean, the Badgers ran to the BYU. They had a lottery pick on their team. I forget his name now, but they had a deep team. It was a three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember. It's not. It was a Russian name. Richie Saunders got hurt this year. I forget who the.
But anyways, he went pro. Yeah. And I don't. That part, it's just the idea that like they had talented players, just like Arkansas does. And the Badgers were right in it, right there. So I think this time around, when they play Arkansas, I think this Badgers team, I know it's not the same players, but I just think that this time they're going to burst through. And if they get through the Sweet 16, I don't have them beating Arizona, but I've read in a few places that that's not a bad pick to make, because Arizona is similar to Michigan in the way that they play and their style and their players. And the Badgers obviously gave Michigan fits a couple times. So get by Arkansas, and who knows what will happen. Otherwise, everyone will just root for Hawaii.
Yeah.
That
would be amazing. Plays in the first round.
That would be amazing if that happened.
I am not opposed to that. But I think, and Kamari McGee actually just alluded to this, I think the experience of Wisconsin is going to pay dividends against Arkansas. Their two top scorers, incredibly talented. Thomas and Acuff, they're both freshmen, though. So who is Arkansas going to be relying on in the clutch? Two freshmen. Who is Wisconsin going to be relying on in the clutch? A senior and Nick Boyd, who has been to the Final Four, and John Blackwell, who has been here before, a junior. I think that because we know it's going to be fun, we know it's going to be a close game, we know they're evenly matched. It's going to come down to the wire, and who do you want with the ball in their hands? Do you want the senior who's been to the Final Four, or the freshman who is just facing the bright lights for the first time? Give me Nick Boyd. Give me the senior. I think that's going to be the difference.
I think what also could help Wisconsin, too, is that even though Arkansas is a dangerous team, they aren't a team that runs super deep. I believe that they go just roughly, I want to say, somewhere a seven-man rotation, maybe eight.
I think so.
What could help, and this is hindering on the health, of course, with Nolan Winter, but also Jack Janicki. I saw a little bit of the breadcrumbs that the Badgers put out there in the reel. Jack Janicki taking some layups, looking like he's good to go. If he at least gets some extra minutes for this team and gives some extra rest, I think, again, that's a deep rotation that you have have from a Badger team that Greg Gard gave the trust already in the Big Ten championship, or the Big Ten tournament, if you will, essentially because you're forced to. But you saw guys like Hayden Jones get extra minutes. Alexis Beliauskas, even though he's a starter, you saw elevated roles in the Big Ten tournament. So that prepares these guys for the next level and helps from a depth standpoint if you're going up against Arkansas.
Absolutely. Let's hit the next one. As Pablo kind of touched on, yep. Winter and Janecki are on their way back. I think to expect much out of them this first weekend is a lot. I think if you can just get them, if I'm Coach Gard, I think what you're trying to do out of both those guys is to game one, get their sea legs underneath them. Game two, Winter's the guy you're really going to need there. And then you get the break as well. And so then all of a sudden, you get some time to refresh, and Boyd and Blackwell, who've been carrying a major load, have an opportunity to be refreshed, and then Winter and Janicki can get their legs under a little bit more. So for me, these two players coming back matter if the Badgers get to the Sweet 16.
I didn't really know if what was going to look like for Jack Janicki. I'm not going to lie. I was under the assumption, and I'm going to also admit, I do not have the medical degree. So I can't evaluate what injuries and the prognosis and the timelines look like from here. I will wholeheartedly admit that. But I thought Jack Janicki was done for the season, it felt like, based off of what was put out there. But to see that he's good to go, or is at least practicing at the very least and getting, as Greg Gard said, an unsportsmanlike for Nolan Winter to be a good ready to go, and as he told us on Monday, that Janicki's getting some pretty meaningful reps, this is a great sign. Again, do I expect Jack Janicki to blow up off the bench with 10 points? No. But it's, again, just providing those extra minutes. It's providing that stretch time for the guys. And even if Wisconsin decides to go speedy, Riley, you mentioned how short of a high point team this is. They did mm-hmm. run that same rotation of four guards against Washington. So that's where things help out from a health standpoint, from getting those extra minutes. But you got to have your big stretch in Nolan Winter, especially if this is a fast-moving offensive high point team. Nolan Winter adds just so much depth to this group, too.
Yeah, and he's just going to be taller than everyone on High Point, which I think will be very helpful and very impressive. And Jack Janicki, his worth on this team, no offense to him, is on the defensive side of the ball. He's not a real scorer. So I think having an extra, not elite defender, but a very good defender in Jack Janicki is going to be extremely helpful. First against High Point, like you said, Jim, get their sea legs underneath them. But then against Arkansas and Arizona, if they get to the Sweet 16, having Janicki in, I think, will almost be just as helpful as having Nolan Winter back, because you need to be able to play defense. You're going to need to be able to slow down the lethal attacks of both Arizona and Arkansas. So I'm very excited. I think it's huge and raises their ceiling. We talked about that earlier, how Winter being out lowered the ceiling. Ceiling's back to the top, if you will.
All right, let's talk about the top, which is Nick Boyd. Yes, and Nick Boyd is creeping towards history now, and we even got Mark Tauscher on board as far as calling Nick Boyd the best transfer in the NIL era for the Wisconsin Badgers. Nick Boyd has 699 points. The number one is 732, and 716 is Alondo Tucker, and I believe 724 is John Tanjay. So he's within striking distance in one game to honestly get any of them, but realistically, there's a decent chance, especially if this game goes against High Point the way that we think, there could just be a lot of points, especially if High Point doesn't play defense. So like he could be right there, and I think he's already the top NIL recruit. But if he gets if he gets the single season scoring record and gets his team to the Sweet 16, then we're having conversations about, is he having one of the best single seasons ever? And don't come at me with the accolades, because I get it. So don't get me wrong, Frank, Player of the Year. But you might be able to start sliding him right below that, because this Badgers team, like, they didn't have the preseason hype. You don't start as high, and we're talking about individual record, not team. And some of these things with some of those awards, like, oh, Tanjay All-American and things like that, well, you stand out in certain ways. Nick Boyd has done this all within the flow of the game, and he is a guy who is a more complete basketball player, and Tanjay is amazing. But mm-hmm. look at the overall numbers. Nick Boyd rebounds, he has assists, and he has points. And I know assists and points were higher than Tanjay. I think his rebounds were within striking distance of it. And again, Nick Boyd is setting the tone for exactly what this Badger basketball team needs. And if this team makes the Sweet 16, I think we're really having a conversation of his season's, like, what, right behind Frank Kaminsky.
Yeah, what helps is that John Tanjay needed to explode in the scoring column to be the true difference maker for Wisconsin, whereas, again, if Nick Boyd blows up in the scoring column, awesome, but he is just able to, whether it's his persona, if it's even in the assist column, the rebounds you mentioned, the steals. I remember the Illinois game, watching that when he just dove. Keaton Wagler, who lost his footing and then tried to dive for the ball, and Nick Boyd was fearless and just went straight for it and went for a breakaway layup there. He is just fearless beyond belief, and I think it's just the attitude as well. But I think what I also love too is, if we talk, it's subjective, sure, but best Badger transfer. I mean, I just love, especially in this era too, unless you're a highly touted recruit that's coming in with all this hype, Badger fans feel so connected to him, and I think he also feels so connected to Wisconsin right here. And how often do you truly see that, even from a guy who knows that I've only got 1 year at Wisconsin? Like, I love that it is a two-way street of that connection, especially, again, in this era of just constantly changing rosters in this time of college sports.
Yeah, so I took a little bit of flack for this on social media from Saturday Scramble, Pablo, yeah. Where I declared that if Nick Boyd and John Blackwell will equal Sam Decker and Frank Kaminsky as the greatest duo, 1A and 1B, greatest duos in Wisconsin Badgers basketball history if they go to the Final Four this year. And some people were saying, nah, slow down, young man. Slow down, kid. They got to make two Final Fours, which obviously Boyd can't do.
Right.
If they want to approach the legacy of Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker. I think a Final Four is possible this year. Difficult, but possible for the Badgers. If Nick Boyd gets to a Final Four, I think his legacy is probably Frank Kaminsky 1A, Nick Boyd 1B. Because he'll have passed the record. He'll have taken the team to a Final Four when no one was expecting them to take this team to a Final Four. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not.
Honestly, I agree too.
I just said Sweet 16, I think, gets you there. So, because for me, I look at it like this, that it's a different era.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't build a team. We're going to look back at this, and it's going to be how you look back at pre-shot clock or pre-3-point, pre-NIL and after NIL. And if Nick Boyd gets this team, again, Frank is Frank, National
yes.
Player of the
yep.
Year. You can't argue with that. But besides that, I mean, Decker wasn't the star of those teams. And Frank was, but those teams were deep. Gosser, mm-hmm. Trayvon Jackson. I mean, those teams were very, very deep. And I know I'm forgetting
Nigel
players.
Hayes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Nigel Hayes is like your eighth guy yeah. off the like eighth or seventh guy into
that
the game.
That Ben Brust guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
He was all right.
Yeah. So those teams were deep. That is not this team. Like, Boyd and Blackwell are the only two players off the top of my head that would be in the rotation on that team.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that's always a good test. I used to do that in the past, of like, who is playing. And I thought last year was just been Tanjay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Blackwell was nice, but like, last year had just been Tanjay playing for that team somewhere in the rotation. And so I think that's that team, it's a different era, but you still can, not in the style of play, just the way you could build a roster. So honestly, I still use that team as like, all right, how good is this Badger team? How many of these guys would play on that team?
And I just love the chip on the shoulder that he has, too. He didn't even receive honorable mentions for All-American. I know Greg Gard, after Saturday's loss, was hoping that at least John Blackwell and Nick Boyd could get better all-conference honors. And it is what it is. And even though Nick Boyd is very even keeled, with at least publicly, with that, like, I know that it just feels like he has that chip on his shoulder. He's not going to be afraid. He's going to use that as fuel in the best way. And I love that he is always willing to go out there and be like, I'm going to prove myself, or not just myself, but I'm going to bring the guys with me. You know what? Proving myself means that I'm going to elevate this locker room. And as he said, too, after the Washington win, bring confidence from that Final Four run. Bring confidence into this group, because it's about having that certain element of swagger. It's about being together and picking up each other. And it's rubbed off from the conversations I've had with Andrew Rohde, saying we're the underdogs. We are happy to be the underdogs. We love that mentality. And it just feels like a fun, gritty group that wants to get after it.
Skip to our clip of the week.
Around these parts, There's only time for the best of the Badgers.
We don't know exactly where we are right now.
Why don't you own the Wisconsin football team?
We need to play better, significantly.
They're spoiled rotten.
This is the clip of the week on the Jump Around.
Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar.
Yeah, it is time for the clip of the week. And this week we have Greg Gard from Unsportsmanlike. Pablo, you were just mentioning how he was talking about Nick Boyd and John Blackwell. Here are some comparisons to animals he had for Nick Boyd and John Blackwell. Take a listen.
Coach, let's talk about that backcourt. So you bring in Nick Boyd, who was at FAU in the Final Four, San Diego State for a minute, and then he comes to you guys, and Blackwell has been unbelievable. We talk about veteran guard play in the NCAA tournament. How good are these two?
Yeah, those two have really grown together through the season. I would say early in the year that the chemistry, obviously it's the first time they played with each other, so the connectivity, not only between those two, but seven of my top eight right now that have played over the last week are all new. So how they've grown together, how they've bonded, obviously they're both terrific players in their own way. Personalities are completely different. Nick is an alpha dog, wears his heart on his sleeve, is very vocal, very competitive. John, I've compared to a duck, calm above water, but paddling like heck underneath. So it's been a great combination for them together.
Obviously, we know Nick Boyd, John Blackwell, elite, arguably the best backcourt in the country. But for you guys, Greg Gard, Nick Boyd, alpha dog, John Blackwell, a duck. What are your animal comparisons for Nick Boyd and John Blackwell? Jim, we'll start with you.
I'm bulldog, Nick Boyd.
I like that.
And Blackwell, I almost want to go, they're probably equally athletic, but I almost want to say something like a cheetah or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like just like athletic ability to just get things done with their cunning and athletic. And I think Nick is athletic as well, but a bulldog in that mentality. And I think Blackwell's got that cheetah mentality. Obviously, Nick is more athletic than a bulldog would be as a dog, but yes.
I'm going to dive deep into the depths of the ocean and go with Nick Boyd as the shark and John Blackwell as the jellyfish.
Jellyfish.
Which is wild, but think about it this way. Nick Boyd, clear-cut shark. Goes after it, not afraid to bite. Go for it, John Blackwell. We know that he's there, and he's gonna leave that sting no matter what. Just because it's like, oh, okay, maybe we can mess around with this guy. He's just right there in front of us. We can get around. No, if you go straight for that jellyfish, you're gonna be in a world of pain. But you got to attack it, and that's the thing is that Nick Boyd, in terms of driving into the lane, the shark's gonna force his way into the lane, get to the hoop. Kind of the same way with John Blackwell, though, too. He floats around. He finds his open space. But, again, if you try to go after him, he's going to make you pay.
All right. I like those. I was going with Nick Boyd as a lion, king of the jungle, big presence. And John Blackwell is a snake, silent but deadly.
That's it.
There we go, like a viper.
You gotta add context. You call someone a snake, it doesn't sound good.
Kobe
made it cool with the Black Mamba.
Still, you don't call someone a snake. Like, you did provide the right context to it.
Silent but deadly.
He's a Mamba.
A Mamba, a viper.
There we go.
Viper, pythons. You got to specify.
Rattlesnakes.
Yes. Because you caught my ear for a second. I'm like, what?
John Blackwell is a snake.
Yeah. No, he seems like a great guy. Very nice guy.
Right. Great guy.
Yes. All right, let's go to the portal.
It's time for the Badgers Twitter portal.
It is now time to enter the Badgers Twitter portal. And now it's that time of the year. It's March Madness. Everyone is making their brackets. And of course, when you're picking your brackets, everyone has an upset that they're particularly confident about. Here's the most popular upset pick by seed on ESPN's Tournament Challenge. Iowa over Clemson, Texas A&M, USF, Akron, Troy, Penn, Tennessee State, and Long Island University is picked over Arizona 3% of the time. For you guys, in your bracket, what is the big upset that you are selecting? Pablo, Go.
I liked the popular pick of Iowa over Clemson in the first round.
What? 9 over 8? That does not count.
That doesn't count?
No.
What do you mean?
No.
What are you talking
a 9
about?
And an 8?
Well, okay.
What are you doing?
That is BS. Pick a real
okay,
upset.
Well, no, apparently I can't now. So I'm just going to tap out of this one, apparently.
What? You're all Chuck. Your whole bracket's Chuck.
I still need to go through my brackets. I'm not going to lie. Okay. I will be in multiple bracket groups, but I haven't gotten the chance to truly sit down just yet and completely evaluate what it is. I'm hoping that obviously it's not Wisconsin losing to High Point, but let's see. What do we got here? Pull up what you had here.
All right.
At least
here
on
are
the
most popular
upsets
by seed line.
Tennessee State? Who's picking Tennessee? You know what? Actually, I like this. My dad's probably not going to be thrilled, but Penn over Illinois. I don't like the way that Illinois is playing as of late, but why don't we go with Penn over Illinois? That's
Ivy
what
League.
I would like to see.
Ivy League
Ivy
supremacy.
League's done it before, too. Because
they have Yale.
Princeton, Yale.
Yeah, Princeton went to the Sweet 16 not that
long
ago.
So why not? Let's continue the Ivy League upsets over a Big Ten team this time now.
All right, Jim.
I don't have anything crazy. I do have.
Oh, but you came
I have
for
better
me.
Than 8 for 9.
Yeah, better than 9 over 8.
Okay, well, anyway.
I have Missouri beating Miami. That's a 10-7 on there, yep. So I do have that one there. That's a 8-9 is a
marginally
coin flip.
Better.
It's not great, but, like, here's the thing. You should be going chalk. One that I did toy with would be Hofstra.
Over Alabama after they lost their second leading
scorer. So I might make that switch at some point. Not only did you lose one of your best players, he was arrested on felony drug charges, and I feel like that might mess with like the team's concentration.
Yeah.
So that is one that I might make a final switch for. There's a couple I have circled, VCU and North Carolina as well.
Mm-hmm. That's only 2.5-point line.
Right. But those are some more that I kind of got to dig deeper into. I always like to set it quickly, and then if I have time, sometimes you get busy and you forget, can't get back to it. So if I have time to get back to it, great. But if not, I feel good about what I have here, and I don't have a lot of upsets in it. But I might go back and kind of futz around with some upsets.
I really want to be a homer and for the Missouri Valley and go Northern Iowa over. Over St. John's, even though it's a Rick Pitino squad.
Yeah,
I just would love to see that for the conference for my alma mater. That would be a fun one.
I have Texas Tech and Tennessee getting pretty far, so those are pulling off upsets as it goes.
Yeah, as they go.
Yeah. And you know the one that I might end up circling back to, but it's a big risk. It's a matter of like if I end up playing in a money pool or not. I don't hate Wisconsin over Arizona if it gets that far.
Yeah.
But Wisconsin versus Arkansas is already a tough one, and then
so
like it really could burn you. No, you know, risk it for the biscuit there. And BYU is a team as a 6 seed; they're so loaded that them beating Gonzaga isn't crazy, and I don't believe in Purdue at all. Mm-hmm. So BYU sneaking their way there.
It's funny you should bring those up. I actually have. Both. I have Wisconsin in my Final Four.
I don't like the way you look like you're scheming right now.
Here's how I like it, though. I guarantee
BYU in the Elite Eight.
Yes,
Badgers
yes,
have been the loss
yes.
from last year yes. in the BYU in the Elite Eight. I love it.
Yes,
that's
I
what
can
I'm going
see how
with.
You get there. I can see
yes,
how you get
and
there.
And it's not completely unrealistic.
It's not.
And for my upset, I'm hoping Troy knocks off Nebraska and keeps them from getting an NCAA tournament win. I think that would be funny.
That one I could see.
Here's
I can see that one happening.
Does line up well for the Badgers is that this side of the bracket, there's really, I mean, Arkansas is pretty loaded, but like Arizona is the one of one team that is so loaded. You just got to beat one of them.
Yep.
Because Purdue ain't that. And then Gonzaga and BYU is pretty loaded, but it's still not quite there. And so when you look at like if you were in Michigan's bracket or Duke's bracket, pass, even Florida, because they have Houston in the same bracket, like, even Houston could have been a 1 seed. So, like, that is where the Badgers lucked out as Purdue is the 2 seed here, and Gonzaga is the 3. That's not a big money bracket.
Yes, I would agree, and that moves into my next question. Updated NCAA tournament national title odds. Badgers sitting with a 2% chance, according to
Do you have the national
Kelsey.
Title game?
No, I do not.
You're losing to Michigan?
Iowa State in the Final Four.
Okay.
I picked Houston as my national championship champion, I think Calvin Sampson gets it done this year. They've been knocking on the door for so long. Yep. I picked Houston last year, lost in the national championship. Picking Houston again this year, I think they get it done. Who is your national champion?
I have Michigan. I have them beating. So my final four is right now, like I said, it's chalk. It's Arizona, Michigan, Duke, Houston.
Okay.
And so I'm obviously Houston's a two seed there. But and I have Michigan winning the whole thing.
Okay, that's fair.
Dusty May's got a lot of experience. Obviously, coached to the Final Four. They got to the Sweet 16 last year.
Very good team.
Team's loaded.
Yep.
And they're built a way that like I think Big Ten teams would like to build where they probably have – Yaxel's probably their only NBA guy currently. Like, they'll be drafted, I think, high.
Yep.
As far as, like, a lottery pick maybe or first round. But the rest is just good basketball players. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good key to success. And then Houston's got a good mix. They're like they're a little young. It's the only – like, maybe some of their best players are – I'm trying to remember my information, but like,
and I
feel
know
like
their defense isn't as tight as it has been in the. It's still elite, but it's not as good as it's been. They're a little better on the offensive side of the ball. They just seem like a team that's due to me, and they're really, really good.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad pick at all.
Yeah, Pablo.
I'm going with a repeat champ. I'm going with Florida. I like from what I've seen. I've only seen him in pockets, but also Xavier Lee. That dude is an absolute baller. Love watching him. So I'm gonna go with. I'm going to go with Florida, like I said, and I'm just, you know what, it's awesome too, just real quick, the field is 68 now, the first four games are fun, but I always felt like that this was, as I mentioned, still want to go through my brackets. Wednesday night was a night that I always dedicated to doing the deep dive into the bracket and really being like, all right, this is the time to do my homework before we tip off on Thursday, so I'm going to be a little bit of the old man yells at cloud here and say that I'm still just going to stick to my guns and go with Wednesday night as my research night where I can fully dive deep into it.
And that leads into the third and final question I have. This bracket you see in front of you is handwritten by Alex Stroph himself. He handwrites the bracket as it's announced. That's just a tradition he has.
Psychotic.
Every year. Yeah.
Doesn't Evan Cohen do something similar too, or I thought he did?
But Evan's old enough where you kind of had to for a while.
No, yeah.
Alex Evan's just giving it a try. Yeah.
He's just doing it because he wants to, and he also is big on having multiple brackets. He said he was going to make 10 to 15 brackets this year. That's how many he was going to fill out. So for you guys, are you one bracket? That's your bracket? Or do you make a ton of brackets? Because this is a hot button issue every single year. Jim.
At the most, I'll do two, which would be one where I feel like I've really gone analytical on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one would be pretty close, and I maybe just some coin flip games I went with my heart. And that's about it. I'm not doing one or two. Because I'm not, like, winning money's nice. I won $1,000 last year. But, like, I'm not in this to win the money. I'm in it to be right.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's, for me, I want to be right. The money's cool, but I want to be right. And so, in the end, like, the way Alex is doing it is he's like, great. Like, Alex, if you won money and you had 15 brackets, like, cool. If you won money and you had one or two brackets, like, that means you, like, you could be in 30 places, but you, like, had a bracket of integrity was the old Mike and Mike term. And sometimes I roll with just one. Sometimes I'll throw in, like, a few, like, personal picks.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like at minimum, I'm in at least five or six different groups, and I want to put a different bracket together for each one, because I think there's three, in my mind, three categories at the very least. One that you go all in on, two, an absolute chaos bracket, and three, one just for the hell of it for vibes. At the very least, I would go with three different brackets if I'm in pools, and you know, it just kind of felt like I was getting a bunch of invites left and right. And there's also one where it's a survivor pool more so, where I'm assigned a team versus
interesting.
I'm filling out a bracket, but if my team that I was given loses, then I move on with the team that beats them or something along those lines, and I'm still in play for a money pool. So we'll see how that one goes.
All right, I'm big on one bracket for every competition that I enter. I have my bracket. Mm-hmm. So where I'm picking Houston to win. Then I'll just throw out a bunch of random ones. Like I'll make just go on logos or
mascots.
Exactly. Stuff like that.
My favorite color.
But like, they're never my actual bracket, and it doesn't matter how those ones do. It's just an opportunity to fill out more brackets on the ESPN Tournament Challenge app, which I enjoy. But I only have one real bracket that I enter into every single competition. You have to have integrity. You have to have substance when it comes to March Madness. How I feel.
Is the billion-dollar challenge still up for grabs, too? Is that with that one in quintillionth chance?
Very well could be.
Of a 100% accurate bracket. I remember the first year that happened, Ohio State got knocked out by Dayton and knocked out just about 80% of the nation's brackets in that first game. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy how precise you have to be.
Not sure, but I do know that's it for the Twitter portal.
Uh-huh.
All right. I think that's it for the whole show then.
Yeah.
Because normally we have a guest, but we already had a guest on the Yuengling Hotline. That was Kamari McGee. Thanks for watching. For Pablo Iglesias, I am Jim Rutledge and Riley Yauch. This has been The Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube channels.